Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Charge. Bernstein and Charge. Holmes on 670 The Score.
Charge time. That means there's football tonight is what it means. Paul Charchian is on Twitter at Paul Charchian, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. And he's with us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. There he is in his glory. Hello, Paul Charchian. How you doing?
Hi, friends. Great to have you back. It's for another week. Not that we always love it when Lawrence is in studio, but, you know, some people might feel like this is an upgrade, Marshall.
Oh, no, definitely not that. I'm the one who has real all fantasy right. football problems. So, you know,
that is true.
When we talk and I asked you about Lamar Jackson and Tua Tagovailoa last week, and obviously Tua, he ain't playing no time soon. So I didn't know if you had any suggestions to people. If Tua was your guy, where do you go from here? And still, we're looking at the passing numbers. We've been talking about this just in a pure football sense, way down. So quarterback down. Doesn't even seem to be as important as it has been.
Yeah, a lot of people scrambling to Gardner Minshew, which makes sense. You get the Panthers this week. You get the Broncos in 2 weeks. That's pretty nice. The real question, I think, in Miami with Tua out is, what does it mean for Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle? You know, because Tua's gotten knocked out of games so often, we've gotten five different games in which Skylar Thompson has had 10 or more passes. So we got a little bit of data to go on. In those five Skylar Thompson games, Tyreek Hill drops down to an average weekly finish of wide receiver 32.
Wow. He's
normally like, you know, wide receiver 5. Jaylen Waddle drops down to wide receiver 41. So now, in fairness to Skylar Thompson, though, he's usually getting thrust in off the bench cold when Tua gets knocked out of these games. This time he gets the whole week to get prepped up. Mike McDaniels can craft a game plan around him. Thompson is non-awful. He's got a big arm. He can connect downfield on some passes. Or just like throw bubble screens to Tyreek Hill and just let him go be special. I would keep starting Tyreek Hill for sure. Okay. He drops from a wide receiver 1 to wide receiver 2. Waddle, though, turns into much more of a flex play. And I think you could consider replacing him for somebody that you would never otherwise normally start over Waddle, like Jakobi Meyers against the Panthers this week, right? Super compelling. So that's, I think Waddle's the guy that really scares me out of this.
Speaking of Panthers, they have made a much publicized change at quarterback. And it's one with all kinds of connections to the Bears in one way or another. Andy Dalton, does he get the ball to skill position players who might be playable?
Well, I mean, the easy answer is just say, well, duh, no. But I'm going to try to make a case for yes on this, and you can tell me if it works or not. So Dalton had one start last year. He threw 58 passes in that game.
Wow.
For 361 yards and 2 scores. Raiders this week favored by 7. So this game script likely turns pass heavy. And one of the key things, remember, the new head coach is Dave Canales. He could not fix Bryce Young through 2 weeks, but Dalton fits his model. He revitalizes veteran quarterbacks that other teams have given up on. Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Andy Dalton. And the Raiders' pass defense is not great. They ranked 29th in pass coverage by Pro Football Focus. They ranked dead last in tackling. I think Deontay Johnson and even Adam Thielen get into conversations about, you know, players that we were benching for sure. I think they're back in the conversation now as guys you could potentially start, at least in this game.
Okay, so number one, I have Tyreek Hill. So thanks for that. Number two, I have this other guy, Amari Cooper. Remember him?
Yeah.
Can I keep starting him, or do I need to go pick up like an Adam Thielen and roll the dice in that direction?
People are keen to blame all of Cleveland's woes on the universally despised villain, Deshaun Watson. Those woes include, but are not limited to, Amari Cooper's slow start, Iran's nuclear program, the scourge of daylight savings, and worst of all, unexpected item in bagging area.
Wow. Yeah.
In this case, the blame on Amari Cooper is on Amari Cooper. Cooper has a career drop rate of 8% this year. 38% drop rate. Normally very sure-handed, Amari Cooper is dropping more balls than a hernia specialist.
Wow. That is a line. That is a line right there.
Thank you.
You're so proud of it, Charge. That's why I think. I laughed partly because it's funny and partly just because of it's so it's so precious to you.
Let the balls fall where they may.
Yes.
It really is. And Cooper this week, he goes up against the Giants. Their outside corners are Cordell Flott and Deontay Banks. They are giving up a 70% catch rate between them and an average catch of 21 yards.
Ooh, that's not good.
Amari Cooper, back on the radar one more week. Let's see if we can pull it off.
Where do you have Caleb Williams ranked this week and why?
Okay, let me pull up the rankings. Now, I have an unusual amount of optimism for Caleb this week, and I'll talk to you about it in just a second here. He is quarterback number 20.
Number 20. Okay.
Now, he has not, to this point, he hasn't been even close to quarterback 20. And a couple of stats for you if you don't know, and I'm sure you guys have dissected a lot of this, you may know his 3 net yards per pass attempt is the worst for any quarterback to open a season through 2 weeks in a decade. His completions have been, as you guys know, almost entirely quick first read passes. On passes of more than 9 yards, Caleb Williams completing 22% of his passes. That is not good. But here's why I'm optimistic. One, it's the Colts. And C.J. Stroud passed with ease against the Colts. Their defensive game plan against Malik Willis was straight up moronic last week. And the Colts are going to be without DeForest Buckner, who went on IR. Cornerback Juju Brents went on IR. And Leatu Latu has got a hip injury. And that leaves them down to just like one good cornerback, their slot guy, Kenny Moore. The rest of their cornerbacks are just untested or proven awful already. So I'm actually kind of optimistic about the entire offense, especially the running game. So the Colts are getting run on like crazy. I think Caleb's going to take a full step forward in this game. Do you share my optimism, Chicago Bear fans?
I would say a half step forward because I expect them to run the ball. And then after they get done doing that, run the ball some more.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that.
I am maybe irrationally confident in a Bears win, Charge, because I never predict games and I never go out of my way to make a pick. But I always say if I have a strong feeling about an outcome, I'll tell you. I could be right. I could be wrong. I don't take pride in my ability to necessarily predict the future. But I said it on Monday. Bears are going to win this game.
I think you're right. I think you're right. The Bears deep, but not enough people talking about the Bears defense, which is great. Other thing, Anthony Richardson, the passing has not been good.
Mm-mm.
There's still a lot of work to do here. And when I look at his receiver matchups against your corners, I don't like them. And I'm not sure Anthony Richardson's running is a huge X factor that could change the game. But if he doesn't come up big there, the Bears are better. Like in a lot of places in this game. So I lean your direction on this.
All right, let's talk tonight. We got Patriots at Jets. What are you looking for? What do you expect?
I love Ramondre Stevenson. This guy is so underappreciated because the Patriots have been bad for a long time now. Ever since Brady left, they've been terrible. And in this preseason, we just decided they were the worst team in the NFL. Meanwhile, they had an upset win in week one and they went all the way to overtime in week two. And Stevenson's been great. I know you guys can appreciate some stats. Let me just hit you with some stat porn on Stevenson for you.
Yep.
He is among starting running backs. He's fourth in yards after contact at 4 yards per carry after contact. He's fourth in runs of 10 or more yards. He's number one in forced missed tackles. And speaking of missed tackles, the Jets, tonight's opponent, have allowed the second most missed tackles. So I think this thing's going to be won on the ground. The Jets have got an awesome pass defense led by Sauce Gardner. The path of least resistance is on the ground. Jets got run bulldozed by Jordan Mason in the Monday night opener in week one. And then even the lackluster stylings of Tony Pollard last week. He rolled up 102 total yards on the Jets. I really like Ramondre Stevenson tonight.
I don't want to be a whataboutism kind of guy, but what about Aaron Rodgers? Is it going to ever go forward with him, or is he just what he is now?
Yeah, I think he's looked pretty lackluster, right? His two-game passing totals, 167 yards, 176 yards. The arm strength looks okay. I mean, for a guy his age, it actually looks, you know, looks fine, but it's not like it used to be. I think the worry for me on Aaron Rodgers, the Patriots pass defense isn't half bad. They hold Pro Football Focus ranks of 7th in pass rush, 14th in coverage, 3rd in tackling. They shut down Joe Burrow in the opener. Geno Smith ended up with a nice box score last week, but a lot of it was due to the overtime game. Garrett Wilson's going to be fascinating to watch. Garrett Wilson is awesome. Nobody ever talks about Garrett Wilson as one of the like 10 best receivers in the league, but he is. And sooner or later, it's coming. And maybe it happens here. You know, we just saw the Patriots give up a lot of yardage to Seattle's receivers. So maybe Garrett Wilson has the breakout game. That's what I'd love to see that tonight.
Charge, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Talk next week.
Lots of fun, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
That is Paul Charchian, Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. I did some stuff yesterday afternoon in preparation for today's High Noon.
You've been downright, should I say, giddy about High Noon and what you have in store.
We're all going to be happy.
You said it was a surprise.
The four of us are going to be happy.
Okay.
And you've got a story too. I want you to do your story.
My story is it's basically everybody's worst nightmare, but in real life.
Next.